Green Bay Packers general manager Ted Thompson was at the East-West Shrine Game looking for future NFL talent this week. So was Paul Guillamet of the Great Blue North Draft Report, our insider on who the Packers scouts were watching. We'll get the lowdown from Pigskin Paul. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning as usual. We'll be talking about some coaching changes coming up, but first, we got our East-West Shrine Game preview joining us, as he does every year from St. Petersburg, Florida.
Expert interview.
We have Pigskin Paul Guillamet of the Great Blue North Draft Report. Mr. Guillamet, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite well, Mr. Caravo. Thank you.
Very good. We're glad you could join us on the show. Of course, Paul, you're in St. Petersburg, Packers general manager. Ted Thompson is in St. Petersburg. He's been watching all these prospects in practice over the course of the week, him and his staff, the Packers scouts, things like that. To start things off on our interview, what can you glean from what Ted Thompson was there? Could you tell, was he watching any players, any positions, any insight you could give us into the man of mystery?
Well, I'm going to say that Covert Ted was his usual quiet, unobtrusive self. And by the way, he's gone now. He stayed through Wednesday.
Okay.
And then flew back to Green Bay. And that's because starting Thursday and then again today, I'm not even at the practice because there is none on Friday before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday was more of a walkthrough without full pads, and special teams work was the primary thing. So the big days were Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and sure enough, bright and early, first practice, I pull into a parking spot at the facility, and I decide that maybe I'm not squarely parked in my parking space, and maybe I should back up and pull back in a little more prettily, as they say in England. They have signs that say, please park prettily. And thank goodness I looked in my rearview mirror, or I might have wiped out the VP GM of the Green Bay Packers, because there was Ted slowly walking towards the gate to go to the practice field. And I did indeed see him at every practice. I saw a couple of other Packers scouts that I could recognize and pick out, but it did not look like the full complement was here, which would make sense because I would guess that they had two or three of their scouts out on the West Coast this week for the NFL Players Association Collegiate Bowl practices.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Ted stayed, was at every practice, was his usual self. He's very unobtrusive. He's very quiet. And yet, by the same token, he is not bashful at all. Most of us stay respectfully beyond the sidelines on the field at both of these practice sessions in St. Pete, as opposed to next week where we'll have to sit up in the stands and watch practice. But you look around and all of a sudden you see his two favorite things to do are get under one of the goalposts and just quietly lean up against the post itself with his little note sheet and his little cheat sheet on the player rosters, and just quietly look around. And then all of a sudden you look a little bit later and all of a sudden you realize that Ted Thompson's almost in the huddle with the coaches giving the plays to the players when they start the scrimmages. It's really cute and it's really funny. But he was intense as far as specific players on his part. No, hard to tell. He spends, as usual, an awful lot of time, but partly because there's more players at these positions. But Ted is clearly an old-fashioned football guy like yours truly, and he loves to watch the big guys practice. So he'll go down in the corner of the end zone where the offensive linemen are doing their drills, and he'll stand there the longest. And then he'll find the defensive linemen and do the same. And then when there's one-on-one drills coming up where you isolate one offensive lineman against one defensive lineman in pass rushing drills, he is always, they do that in the end zones.
Mm-hmm.
Ted seems to sense when that's coming, because he'll be the guy that got down there first. And once again, he's propped up against the goalpost and watching things carefully. I did notice one thing, and I'm just going to say this as a comment on how people operate, and I think this is a wonderful thing, but I did notice, again, there were four Badgers at the game. Joel Stave quarterbacking for the East team, and then Mike Caputo, Derek Watt, and Tyler Mars all playing on the West team. And on Monday and Tuesday, during practices, when those players were not involved in a specific drill, Ted Thompson made a point to individually, quietly go up to each one of those players in the course of practices, introduce himself, congratulate them on being at the game, congratulate them on having a nice career at Wisconsin, and then chit-chatting less than 5 minutes. But he makes a point every year to every in-state player from Wisconsin, he goes over and greets them individually, personally. And I think that's a great touch. Because let's face it, in this day and age, recruiting has become a big part of pro football as well as college football.
Well, that leads me right into my next question here as we kind of talk about the players that were there. I think it's appropriate to start with some of the Wisconsin players. I'm interested, Paul, in Joel Stave, obviously kind of a polarizing quarterback. I'll give you my brief thoughts on Joel Stave here.
Sure.
Which is kind of interesting.
I like that.
Is that I think his mechanics are great. And what's interesting is, I don't know how much that says about Joel Stave as it says actually about Paul Christ. Because as we've come to see, he's, you know, now produced a couple pretty good NFL quarterbacks. One really good one in Russell Wilson, and one capable backup with Scott Dolzien, who's currently on the Green Bay Packers roster. I mean, what are your thoughts on Joel Stave and his mechanics and where he fits into the whole NFL draft coming up?
Well, Brian, if you go back and read some of my things on the GBN report when I do the Who Caught My Eye and a couple of other scouting things, I have tried to bury Joel Stave for 3 years now, because I'm amongst the crew that gets so frustrated when he always, or often, I should say, seems to mismanage the situation for the Badgers over mm-hmm. the last 3 years. And, you know, they've tried to replace him every year. But you know what? I said this to Joel Stave. I talked with him a couple of times, and I gave him some of my embossed pigskin Paul M&Ms as a treat. And I said to him, Joel, I have to admit, sir, that I have had more than my share of criticism for some of your play as a Wisconsin Badger, but I will give you the Stick-to-itiveness Award from Pigskin Paul for being in the program, and hard as they tried to get you out of the starting quarterback position, every year you prevailed as their best option, and you had some good games. You showed some good things, and I admire your determination and I wish you well, and I'm glad to see you down here. And he was appreciative of that. And from the look on his face, I think, Brian, no surprise, he's well aware that Badger fans hated him as much as they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably being kind about it. But I will tell you that by the end of the day, Wednesday, which was the bulk of the pads on, scrimmaging, the hard drills, I will tell you this, and that is that of three quarterbacks, and actually three and a half, because they were playing Keenan Reynolds of Navy at quarterback part of the time on short yardage running
mm-hmm.
plays from scrimmage, and I think he's out for the game, so that's inconsequential. But I will tell you flat out, by the end of the day Wednesday, and I have the rankings at our website on my all-star game reports, Joel Stave is the best all-around quarterback on the East squad, which means I'd tell you if I was drafting and needed a quarterback and was looking for a prospect late in the draft or was trying to line up an undrafted rookie free agent, I would put my desire for Joel Stave ahead of Jake Rudock and Blake Fronhoffel. And in fact, overall, yesterday or day before yesterday at the end of the day, Wednesday, I ranked Joel Stave as the third best quarterback out of the 6.5 total that are here. He measured even more than the program weight at Wisconsin. His official weigh-in numbers here in St. Pete were very impressive. He stands 6'5.5" tall. And I tell you, that's legit because that's the National Scouting Combine measuring him. And I stood beside him multiple times and I had to look up and I'm 6'1.5". He weighed 229 pounds. He has, and this is a big number in my book, Brian, which you and your listeners know who are familiar with me, he has 10 5/8" hands. He can really palm the football. And he's got nice, long 32 1/4" arms, which isn't huge for quarterbacks. But my point is, if you were to draw up a stereotype of what you would like your NFL quarterback to look like, I think it's Joel Stave. And what I saw out of Joel Stave this week, he can make all the throws. There's no problem with his arm strength. His mechanics are at least good at this point. I think he, under pressure, under game conditions, he still has a tendency to forget some of those fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, as you pointed out, some of that is because some of them are fairly new to him. Because I think he gained quite a bit having Paul Chris come back and mentor him, at least for his senior season. I think it might have been interesting, Brian, had he been in Wisconsin Stave's entire career,
yeah,
this kid might have been a much better quarterback by now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got good mobility, and even though his accuracy can be erratic.
Good mobility?
He has good mobility.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that, but that's
well,
okay.
Now, that does not, but again, now, let me backtrack. When I say that, it's not under game condition pressure.
Yeah, true.
Okay? But he can run. He can, you know, he'll run through some people with his size. And he, most of the time, he is reasonable. Let's put it this way. We know he can be erratic with his throwing
mm-hmm.
accuracy. But I would say to you, he's just as accurate when he's running and rolling as he is standing in the pocket. So I think those are hopeful things. And I would say to you and Badger fans, I'll reiterate, I don't think I'm alone in this. He frustrates the heck out of people, just like he did Badger fans. The scouts have noticed this with the occasional really bad mistake he makes here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not see him throw a pick this week, by the way.
Interesting.
But I think what we're saying with Stave is, if you're a team looking for a backup potential quarterback in a developmental project, not unlike Scott Tolzien, I would say, or Jim Sorgi, I would say to you that Stave's going to need some work, and he's probably going to be stuffed on somebody's practice squad for a couple of years.
Yep.
But I honestly believe if he goes to the right team that's looking for a pocket passing quarterback and they have a quarterback whisperer on their coaching staff, I think he has potential to be at least the Scott Tolzien and have a cup of coffee in the NFL.
Yeah, it didn't hurt that he saved his best game for last in the bowl game against USC.
There you go.
He looked good in that game. We'll give him that for all his shortcomings. We'll give him that. Another Wisconsin player, fullback Derek Watt. I don't think the Packers need a fullback, but I can't deny the connection to his brother, of course, J.J. Watt, who I think people may know. Thoughts on Derek Watt?
Well, I talked to Derek, and the first thing I said to him, I gave all the Badger boys some of my pigskin Paul M&Ms and had a couple conversations with him. And I asked Derek Watt, what's the best thing about being J.J. Watt's brother? And then tell me what the worst thing is.
Uh-huh.
And the kid is very articulate, very smart, and very, you can tell he's a well-mannered, well-brought-up young man. And his comment was, the best thing about being J.J. Watt's brother is he's a great role model for me. He's an excellent player, but he's a really good guy. And he's been great giving me advice when I asked for it, and I'm proud to be his kid brother. And the worst part is that every conversation I have usually starts with, hey, how about your brother?
Yeah.
And I thought those were great answers. You know, that I'm sure he's had to give those answers a couple of times. Good athlete, okay? Better athlete than you normally expect to see in a fullback. And he's not a huge fullback, Brian. He weighed 234 pounds at his weigh-in, and he looks to be in great shape.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost 6'2". He's 6'1 7/8". He's got nice 9 5/8 inch hands, and I'm going to tell you what. He caught everything thrown to him, and they actually, because of injuries on the West team, I referred in my article where I talked about him after the Wednesday practice, Derek Watt is the Swiss Army knife of the prospects down here at the Shrine. He can run a little bit. You know, if you run him straight line between the tackles, he's quicker and I think can be more of a running threat than a John Kuhn has been at fullback for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they're going to take him. I'm just, you know,
yeah.
You got low city Packer fans, so it's good to compare to the Packers.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing this. I don't think they're going to draft all these guys we talk about.
Yeah.
He showed great hands this week, and I don't mean just catching little 5-yard dump-offs. He was running crossing patterns 10 yards down the field. He is a natural hands catcher. And having hands that are almost 10 inches really helps in that process. They used him at the West practices at fullback, at running back. They had an injury on the tight end core. They used him at tight end on Wednesday's practices. They used him in an H-back lineup. He's on every special teams unit that they have. And at the end of Wednesday's practice, Dennis McKnight, the special teams coach, and some real football fans will remember Dennis McKnight's name. He was a long snapper and an offensive lineman for about 10 years in the NFL, played for the Chargers primarily.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows his football is what I'm getting at, but he's not an old, old guy. You know, he's probably in his early, mid-40s.
Okay.
Anyway, he took Derek Watt to the sideline after practice and had him practice long snapping.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Shrine game does not recruit long snappers per se.
Yep.
They figure they can find somebody on the roster, especially since you can't rush and try to block punts and kicks.
Mm-hmm.
So they tried him, and he had the stance down. The ball was coming back with very good velocity. Now, did he sail a couple over the guy's head? Yes, he did. But did he snap a couple of them in there with reasonable strength and speed and spin on the ball? Yes, he did. And McKnight's comment to him Brian. I thought this said it all. McKnight's comment to him is, "We may have just found our backup long snapper. Let's do this a little bit more after Thursday's practice." And then he looked at Derek and he said, "You know what, buddy?" He said, "Your brother's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame the way he plays right now. But I'm telling you, you could probably have a longer NFL career if you wanted one because of all the things you can do."
Very cool. Very cool to hear that. I look forward to seeing him long snap during the game. That should be cool to see. Some other players I'm interested about here, Paul, and ask you about. Michigan linebacker Joe Bolden. And the reason I ask you about him, he was the teammate of Packers linebacker Jake Ryan, of course. The Packers going to need somebody next to Jake Ryan this year. Is Joe Bolden, his former teammate, that guy?
If he is, it isn't this year. I could see where the Packers might have some interest in Joe Bolden, but I am not, I'll be honest, Brian, I'm not convinced from an athletic standpoint that he's going to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
If he is, it will be late. He might be available as an undrafted rookie free agent, but I will say this in Joe Bolden's defense. He is a decent athlete. He's just a little bit too thick in the legs and the butt to have the speed that the NFL likes. You know, he's a run-stopping linebacker.
Yep.
Yet you'd have to, if you got two downs out of him, you'd have to pull him when the passing started.
Yep.
He was 6'1 and a half, which to the Packers, that doesn't seem to bother them. He weighed 239, so on that frame, that's not bad. He's thick. Like I said, from the waist down, he's thick. He has 10-inch hands. Now, I don't know when he's ever going to get close enough to the ball in the air to use those hands, but he had relatively short arms. He's 30 3/8-inch arms. So that probably works against him a little bit. He might have been the biggest hitter on the East squad when they were running 11-on-11 and 8-on-8 drills and 9-on-7 drills. Bolden was the guy when the ball got near the sideline, if he was able to get there soon enough, the coaches kept yelling, "Stay on your feet, stay on your feet." And the guy with the ball couldn't stay on his feet when Bolden hit him. He was planting people. So, you know, I think if they didn't have such a big need for immediacy,
yeah,
he would be a good fit for them. But, you know, when you look at it, the Packers roster, per se, is loaded with linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
They just really don't have four real starting linebackers of good NFL caliber, in my opinion. So I don't know that they'll be looking at a linebacker, but I'll just say he's tough enough. He's aggressive enough. He seems like a smart kid. I didn't talk to him, per se, but I saw him around. And I would think that he at least is on the pack. He's on the Packer watch list. I'll mm-hmm. put it that way. But I don't think he's going to solve much of our playing time linebacker work. I didn't see much of that at all down here, Brian. And I'll watch carefully next week at the Senior Bowl. But I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say, if they really are intent, and I've read those things too, on getting Clay Matthews back on the outside, they better be finding a serviceable veteran free agent who they can sign and plug in the middle and not have to, you know, worry about how much they have to teach him. You know, just like Jake Ryan.
Yeah.
He certainly looked like a lot better football player in December than he did in September.
But that, or they're going to have to spend a first-round draft pick on a linebacker somehow.
And I'm not sure. Yeah, and I'm not sure they're there, and I know we'll talk much before the draft. But again, they do pick late. No, I'm serious. I think Teddy better be looking at veterans.
But there's a pretty good class, don't you? I mean, I don't know how many you'll reach the end of the first round, but I mean, there's the Ragland kid of Alabama. There's the Lee kid from Ohio State. There's Yeah, I'm trying to think of them all off the top of my head. There seems to be a pretty good
Yeah,
group.
and there's Jalen Smith that's a
Yes,
betweener,
the guy of the
but I think
injury.
he's going to end up outside. But
Yeah.
I think Ragland would be the best bet as a, you know, as an initial running down linebacker before they put their eight defensive backs out on the field. I don't know that he'll last, but then again, inside linebackers don't get snapped up as quickly by and
Yeah.
large. So, no, it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And certainly, as we know, I'll clarify this to your listeners, I don't have a direct line to Ted Thompson. He doesn't ask my advice.
We'll talk more about Reggie Ragland next week when he plays at the Senior Bowl.
Yes.
Another guy I'm interested, kind of because of the college connection here, Stanford wide receiver Devin Kajust, former teammate of Packers, former Stanford wide receiver Ty Montgomery. Can you kind of compare and contrast the two?
There is no comparison between those two.
Okay.
Kajust is a different breed, Brian, and there if he could last long enough, I think there might be some sincere curiosity on the Packers' part about Devin Kajust, because he could very easily, I think, fill that hybrid spot that they're always looking at. There was a big surprise about Devin Kajust this week, and a notable surprise. Devin Kajust was listed by Stanford, I'm assuming, is or the agents, but I think they get it from the college. They get it from the colleges. Devin Kajust by Stanford was listed as being 6'4", 227 pounds. Okay? And he moves pretty nicely, and he's got wonderful hands. He's got big hands, 10 5/8-inch hands. I like that. He's got nice long arms, 32 3/4-inch long arms. He's a big guy. But get this. He measured in with National Scouting on Monday as being 6'3 1/8-inch tall. Now, he looks taller than that when you stand near him or look at him, but that's okay. He's up to 234 pounds.
Wow.
And it does not look to me, Brian, like it slowed him down any. He is very interesting. I think he opened some eyes because, he's not going to be a fast 40 guy at the combine. And yet, when you've got that size and you can separate a little bit and you've got those big meat hook hands, and he's a hands catcher. He reaches out and he just snatches that ball out of the air. Very, very impressive. I encourage your listeners that are real Packer fans and draftniks, watch the Shrine Game tomorrow at I think it's going to be 2 o'clock your time. On NFL Network, because we got Charlie Weiss for the East and we got June Jones on the West, and they're going to throw the ball a lot more than your normal all-star game. And they've got the receivers to get the job done. And given that almost every year, as long as Ted's got a full complement of picks, and he certainly does, and I'm assuming we're counting on a couple of compensatories again. You know darn well Ted's going to draft a wide receiver somewhere in the third day of the draft if he doesn't do it before then. And there's a bunch of guys here that I think fit that criteria. And again, Kajust is a very different receiver because of his size than Ty Montgomery. And good one to watch. I was quite pleased when I saw you gave him to me on my list to be ready to comment on, because he came on like gangbusters this week.
Cool. I probably should have asked you this question, one question earlier, just to stay with the linebacker theme. Another linebacker here from USC, Anthony, and I'm not even sure how you pronounce the last name, Anthony
Sorrell?
Sorrell. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'm interested in the connection. The Packers, of course, have drafted a couple USC linebackers over the year, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry. I'm not sure Sorrell is in that, first round territory, but I mean, tell me about him.
Well, he was much more highly thought of a couple years ago, but he has suffered through some injuries, and those injuries, he still didn't look 100% out there. He had to have his ankle retaped one day and this and that. But I don't see it, Brian, because unfortunately, I think we can, if you don't mind, I think we can wipe him off the discussion real quickly by saying he's 5'11", 229 pounds,
Okay.
and I don't see, to me, that's a special team guy that might turn out to be more. I don't think Ted Thompson really goes after guys like that. Now, other side though, I will say this: he's athletic. I think he's a smart player from what I saw in 3 days of practice. The key for him, I think, is going to be at some point the medical, and then he's going to be undrafted, and then it depends on what somebody's interested. So I won't tell you I'd write him off, but I don't see the Packers drafting a guy of his size and skill level.
Gotcha. Iowa safety Jordan Lomax. Packers like Iowa players over the years. In fact, they have an Iowa safety on the roster right now, Micah Hyde. So what are your thoughts on Jordan Lomax?
I think Jordan had an injury late in the season. He played in the Iowa Bowl game, and he was here this week and participated, but I'm not convinced he's 100%.
Okay.
So I don't think we saw all that he can do. But at best, Brian, I think this is a clear comparison that'll hold water. At best, you're bringing in the next Chris Banjo.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really small. He's 5'9" 3/4 inches.
Gotcha.
And he weighs 204, which is okay, but he's got 8.5-inch hands. So chances are, and I don't think he had a whole lot of INTs at Iowa. Let's just say I don't think he is the same kind of player coming out of the Iowa secondary like Micah Hyde and a couple other guys that the Packers have had on their roster at varying times.
Yeah.
Different player, and like I said, you might as well take the experience of Chris Banjo and let him continue to be a really good special team player. I don't think Lomax will be much more than that. I didn't see very much at all down here at the safety position. How about if I put it this way? I feel that Michael Caputo was very competitive with the rest of the safeties down here. And I love Michael Caputo's attitude and his aggressiveness, but he's not an NFL athlete.
Yeah.
And most of them down here that I saw were not. There were only a couple, and they had like 10 safeties down here.
Yeah.
And I'd say maybe three of them might be draftable, and neither Lomax nor Michael Caputo would be one of them.
Yeah, Caputo, he's limited athletically, but he's not
He's a
afraid.
tough.
He hit like a freight train. That
Yes, he does, and
might get him a look.
he laid some good licks down here, no
Yeah.
doubt about it. He'll be for a team that can afford it and needs another defensive back type guy primarily to be on every special team unit they have.
Yeah.
Michael Caputo's got a chance.
Yeah.
Good kid.
Another guy I'm interested in, UCLA center Jake Brendel. Interested because he was the exchange partner for current Packers quarterback Brett Hundley. Tell me about that kind of connection.
He's a really good athlete. He's long, got an athletic frame, but I see two things that would prevent the Packers from having any serious interest. I don't see that he could play any other position but center. He hasn't in college. And even though he's long and lean, not a fat guy, I don't think he's overly athletic. If he goes to the combine, for instance, I don't think all of a sudden he's going to jump out of the gym or something like that. And he only, now this obviously doesn't deter the because look at Corey Linsley. Mm-hmm. But Brindle weighs 293, and that's on a 6'4" and a 1/8-inch frame. I think he needs to be in more in a zone blocking scheme, mm-hmm. where he can cut people. Only 31-inch arms. That's gonna keep you at center.
Yeah,
I'm not even convinced that. So I guess what I'm saying is Brendel was a good college center. I'm not sure his size and skills are going to translate to the NFL very well. And I did not see, you know, obviously I have to preface and say nobody can watch all 110 guys that are at these games in three days. And the people that do that, I'd say to your listeners, stop reading their stuff because they're full of crap. You can't do it. You know, you're just looking for a flash play. And as we all know, anybody that's good enough to start at Division I football is gonna deliver a flash play once in a while. It's what do they do the next three snaps? So I just didn't see anything that made me pay attention to Jake Brendel. But let me throw this in, because I know you want Packer draft, but let me throw this in because your audience is mostly Wisconsin folks. Mm-hmm. Tyler Mars was a pleasant surprise to me.
Okay.
He held his own at right tackle, even in some of the one-on-one drills where a big lumbering guy, which he is, you know, I mean, let's face it, can get just beaten into the ground. But he held his own, and he's got a big, big frame. He's a big guy. He looked as big as anybody down here. Mm-hmm. When you look at his arms are 33-some inches. You know, he's 6'7", 314 pounds or 20 pounds. He held his own, I think. And I saw, by the way, I'll throw this in. I saw a 49ers scout spending an awful lot of time talking with him after a practice one afternoon.
Interesting. I'm very down on Maris after his career at Wisconsin, but I'll say this. I mean, maybe right tackle is his calling. You know, he played left tackle all those years at Wisconsin, so that could certainly help him. Paul, before we let you go, I've asked you about all the players. I wanted to know about who, just briefly, who stuck out in your eye out there, if there's anybody we haven't covered.
You bet. There were a couple, and if people want to go to the GBNReport.com later today, I will be putting up my all-practice week, all-star team for the Shrine game.
Okay.
So how about if I'll limit it to three guys for you?
Sure.
Okay. And I would say any and all of these guys should be of interest to the Packers, but, you know, it may not be a priority, and there may be somebody they like better when the pick comes up. I thought the best all-around player I saw at his position, wide receiver number 11 from Miami, Rashawn Scott.
Okay.
He missed his junior season because of a shoulder injury. So he kind of was flying under the radar, but he's one of these beautiful athletes. He's almost 6'2", about 195 pounds. He is fast. He is quick. He catches everything, and he really runs good patterns. And boy, can he catch anything coming over his head or his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a beautiful athlete. I think he'll be the highest guy drafted coming out of this game. I was, as you can tell, he really, really did impress me. I think another guy that stood out to me, I'm going to leave one guy off my list. I'll just say his name, Garrett Glasgow from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to leave him out of my discussion because he is going to go to the Senior Bowl. They elevated him.
Gotcha.
He may not even play tomorrow. But there was another offensive lineman that is a big guy, a talented guy, number 71 from South Carolina, Brandon Shell. And he is the great nephew of Art Shell. And he is a big guy, long arms, big hands, and really athletic. And then on the West Quad, Number 71, Alex Lewis, the tackle from Nebraska, played in the Big Ten, right?
Okay.
He has his weight up. He's 6'6". He has his weight up over 300 pounds now, and he still looks like he could pack on another 10, 12. He could get up to 315 pounds and still be able to compete at left tackle, start at right tackle, in my opinion. And I guess we should mention this one. Not that I think he's great, great, but the best quarterback down here by far, Brian, was Brandon Doty from Western Kentucky, number 12.
Okay.
Got a strong arm, got a decent-sized frame, football smart, got an outgoing personality. It may take a while. I think he could also be the first guy taken. I don't see it, though, before the third round.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say, when you get to the third day, I think Derek Watt is going to be a very popular young man.
Yeah.
He'll be the first Badger taken, I think, for sure.
Interesting. Thank you so much, Paul, for giving us insight on all these guys, on Ted Thompson. Appreciate it. Can we count on you next week then to talk from Mobile, Alabama, from the site of the Senior Bowl?
Absolutely, and Friday works wonderfully because Friday is just a walkthrough and the players meeting the fans, so we media people pretty much have Friday off.
Very good, very good. We'll talk to you a week from today then.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thanks for having me, Brian, and hello to everybody back in Wisconsin. I miss you all.
Thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Brian.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
See ya. Pigskin Paul Guillemette, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Check out his work at the Great Blue North Draft Report online. That is gbnreport.com. And give him a follow on Twitter at PigskinPaul. Great to have him give his insight from the site of the East-West Shrine game in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's been there all week watching the practices. And game tomorrow, like we said, at 3 or 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Central, I believe, on NFL Network. But seeing as we've already gone for practically 45 minutes already, we'll try to keep this short the following segments of the show.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday, a couple reports here from Alex Marvez of Fox Sports. First of all, that the Packers have hired Brian Angelico, new tight ends coach, replacing Jerry Fontenot, who parted ways with the organization, of course, earlier in the week. We talked all about that on our last episode of Railbird Central. So the Packers wasting no time in finding at least one replacement. He'll be in charge of a group headlined by tight end Richard Rodgers. We'll see what Angelico can do with him. And maybe some uncertainty apart from Rodgers at the position, because you've got Andrew Corliss, who's a free agent. You've got Justin Perillo, who's a free agent. And then you've got Kennard Backman, the only other tight end who's for sure coming back or at least under contract for 2016. He'll be in charge of working with those guys, and we'll see if the Packers add anybody else at the position during the offseason. They'll add somebody, just don't know. How high in the draft or free agency or what, we will see. And another report from Alex Marvez at Fox Sports. It appears as if the Packers fired two assistants and another is out the door. Mike Solari, the Packers assistant offensive line coach. He's been an offensive line coach for a long time in the NFL. You kind of figured he wasn't going to be an assistant for long. Apparently, I know the New York Giants interviewed him. So Ben McAdoo, former Packers assistant, the head coach there now. I haven't heard if Solari has officially been hired yet. Maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. Regardless, it looks like Solari is as good as gone. So the Packers going to have to hire at some point an assistant offensive line coach as well. So over the course of the next several days here, could be hearing about a few more hirings by the Green Bay Packers. Got to fill that vacant running backs coach job too. And who knows, maybe wide receivers coach. There's been a lot of discussion about Alex Van Pelt coaching both, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers. And is that too much on his plate? We'll see. In terms of player news, I came across the contract details of several players yesterday, starting with, as I've reported at 24/7 Sports, the Packers have signed 10 players to reserve slash future contracts. That means when the new league starts on March 9th, I believe the date is, these guys become part of the team's offseason 90-man roster. And eight out of the 10 guys, they all received one-year deals. Two notable guys received three-year deals from the Packers. Quarterback Ryan Williams, he's the quarterback out of the University of Miami, and wide receiver Jamel Johnson, he was on the Packers practice squad this season. These are the first full-time contracts these guys have signed in the NFL as undrafted players. So as the first contract you sign, the standard length is 3 years. So those guys getting a little bit more security in that deal than the rest of the eight guys on reserve slash future contracts who all signing one-year contracts. You know, we're talking about Christian Ringo, Matt Rotherham, Ed Williams, etc. There's 10 of them all together, and eight of them getting one-year deals. And not a reserve slash future signing here. You'll remember right before the Packers' last playoff game, the divisional round game, you'll remember they put Andrew Corliss on injured reserve, and who they signed to take his place on the roster was cornerback Robertson Daniel. He never played in the game, but they signed him to the active roster just in case. You know, it was kind of one of those situations they didn't know about the status of Sam Shields and Quinton Rollins at the time. They were both kind of injured, so he's kind of an insurance policy. Anyway, the Packers signed him at the time to a two-year deal, so meaning the rest of the 2015 season, which, you know, was only one game, and now he's signed through the 2016 season as well. So Robertson Daniel getting a two-year deal from the Green Bay Packers. Every single one of these deals was for the NFL's league minimum salary. So there you go. There's some contract information for you. And our next segment of the show,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Friday. Kind of the one thing that's happening today is kind of the same as last week. Tonight on NFL Network, they will be replaying the lost footage of Super Bowl I. And this was a big deal last week. Remember, we actually had Alex Nolan of NFL Films come on and talk about how they gained all this film. Well, the very first time they showed it, if you watched it, it was kind of, they had a studio experience to go along with it, in which Steve Mariucci and a couple former Packers players like Antonio Freeman and Jerry Kramer, they were all, you know, invited to talk about the game, and it was kind of over the top of the film of Super Bowl I. And I think a lot of people are like, we don't want to hear all this stuff. You know, it's not like they didn't want to get it, but they wanted to watch Super Bowl I. And it was kind of like you didn't get that opportunity because of all the split screen and commentary and all that. So the NFL Network is going to re-air Super Bowl I tonight, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 7 o'clock p.m. Central. You know, sans the commentary, sans the studio stuff. So you'll just be able to watch the game this evening, Super Bowl I, Packers versus Kansas City Chiefs. The footage that's been lost for years, for decades. So enjoy that tonight if you're interested in watching that. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thanks to Pigskin Paul Guillemette of the Great Blue North Draft Report for joining us. Thanks to you, the listener, as we have shows every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition, podcasted and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as usual, as always, if you've not done so already, we'd really appreciate if you could give us a rating or a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. If you could do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. Helps us get word out about the show. Just search on iTunes, Cheesehead TV, and you'll come across that. See you, folks. Have a good weekend. We'll be back again on Monday talking some Packers football. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Friday. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, Break, Build, Burn by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack, go.